knew where everything was and went through the alleyways behind the shops like businessmen. The cats looked down from high places, disappeared round corners. Many of the women did their washing in stone sinks near the town pump. Tourists going through the town in buses looked out through the windows at the merchants who sold brass and ivory and rugs, drinking coffee in the shade of awnings. The vendors of fruit and vegetables smoked in the streets. Jakin Boaz traded in maps. He bought and sold maps, and some, of certain kinds for special uses, he made or had others make for him. That had been his father's trade, and the walls of the shop that had been his father's were hung with glazed blue oceans, green swamps and grasslands, brown and orange mountains delicately shaded. Maps of towns and plains he sold, and other maps made to order. He would sell a young man a map that showed where a particular girl might be found at different hours of the day. He sold husband maps and wife maps. He sold maps to poets that showed where thoughts of power and clarity had come to other poets. He sold well-digging maps. He sold vision and miracle maps to holy men, sickness and accident maps to physicians, money and jewel maps to thieves, and thief maps to the police. Jakin Boaz was at the age called middle life. But he did not believe that he had as many years ahead of him as he had behind him. He had married very young, and he had now been married for more than a quarter of a century. Often he was impotent with his wife. On Sundays, when the shop was closed, and he was alone with her and his son through the long afternoon, he tried to shut out of his mind a lifelong despair. Often he thought of death, of himself gone, and the great dark shoulder of the world, forever turning away from the nothingness of him, forever in the blackness. Lying beside his sleeping wife, he would twist away from his death thought, open-eyed and grimacing in the darkness of the bedroom over the shop. Often he dreamed of his dead mother and father while sleeping in their bed. But very seldom could he remember his dreams. Sometimes, Jakin Boaz sat alone in the shop late at night. The green shaded lamp on his desk threw his shadow on the maps behind him on the wall. He felt the silent waiting of all the seeking and finding that lived in the maps hung on the walls, stacked in the drawers of the cabinet. He would close his eyes, seeing clear lines in different colour that marked the migratory paths of fish and animals, winds and ocean currents, journeys to hidden sources of wisdom, passes through mountains of loads to precious metals, secret ways through city streets to secret pleasures. Behind his closed eyes, he saw the map of his town, in which the square, the town pump, the stone laundry sinks, the street of the merchants, and he himself were fixed and permanent. Then he would rise from his desk and walk up and down the dark shop, touching maps with his fingers and sighing. Jakin Boaz had for a number of years been working on a map for his son. From the many different maps that had passed through his hands, from the reports of his information gatherers and surveyors, from the books and journals that he read, from his own records and observations, he compiled a great body of detailed knowledge. And that knowledge was incorporated in the map for his son. He added to it constantly, revising and making the necessary corrections to keep it always current. Jakin Boaz had said nothing about the map to his wife or his son, but he spent most of his spare time on it. He did not think that his son would follow him in the shop, nor did he want him to. He wanted his son to go out into the world, and he wanted him to find more of a world for himself than he, Jacob Boaz, had found. He had put aside some money for the boy's inheritance, but the map was to be the larger part of his legacy. It was to be nothing less than a master map that would show him where to find whatever he might wish to look for, and so would assure him of a proper start in life.